I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is brought to you this week by Dyne.com.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for another Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon netcast. Ha ha! Yes, and we have stuff to talk about this week. Much stuff. Indeed. So, let's remind you of something, first of all, and that is that we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Dude, I'm going to just kind of get nice and comfy here in my chair. No, I won't go to sleep. I'm tempted, though. But, you know, no, I'll engage. I'm tempted to just kick back and relax, though. So we got stuff. Did I mention that? Yes. The stuff we have includes an update from Zero PC. You say, Dr. Bill, what is Zero PC? Zero PC, I keep shifting here. Zero PC is a PC that is based in the cloud. It's a cloud PC, and it is basically ubiquitously available. I love that word, ubiquitous. Ubiquitous Wi-Fi, ubiquitous PC. I just like it. Anyway, the point is that Zero PC sent me an email. Okay, they updated me because I was playing with it and had an instance out there that I was playing with. And so I joined their mailing list, and they said, when we look back on the fantastic journey Zero PC has embarked upon in the last year, we are pleased that we have added and improved so many features for Zero PC Desktop and Zero PC Cloud Navigator. We are also very grateful for our supportive user community that provides constant feedback to help us improve our services. And so they mentioned several improvements. They have improved their cloud desktop workspace. Okay. They now have a new web editor, which includes a new HTML text editor that brings common word processor features directly into your Zero PC, basically a new application. You can save it as doc files, PDFs, text, ODTs, which is the open document format, and MHTs are create your beautiful personal blog or web pages directly from our web editor. Yes. They also have quick share and commenting features, basically social stuff. You can look at their quick share feature with a link I have here in the blog. The blog, of course, being Dr. Bill, drbill.tv for video viewing pleasure, which is what you're doing right now. Yes, and file folder shortcuts from cloud services such as Dropbox and Picasa and places like that. Mobile workspace, content navigator, they go on and on, they name all these things. And here's the thing. Coming soon, they have a me, like we, W-I-I, they have an M-I-I, me PC. Our designers and developers are working on a new project called Mi PC. Mi PC is a personal computing device, hardware in other words, that you can connect to a monitor or TV and instantly turn it into a media, learning, and entertainment station. See a sneak preview of the Mi PC initiative at miipc.com, miipc.com. Dude, so they got stuff happening at Zero PC. Yes. Now, I want to mention one of our fine sponsors that is sponsoring us this week. First of all, don't take the fact that Citrix Systems is not a sponsor this week to mean that they no longer care about us. I mean, after all, I'm a Citrix administrator. I am all about the Citrix, you know what I'm saying? So, we're good with Citrix. But they sponsors for certain periods of time, then other folks sponsors for other periods of time. And this week, our sponsor is Dyne, dyne.com, D-Y-N.com. Now, dyne.com specializes in providing specialized management services for DNS and email. Now, if you got a small business, you need Dyne's services, dyne.com. I'm telling you, DNS is more important than you could possibly realize. You want your web to load fast. You want your website that you offer to people to load fast. You know, if you're a small business, you want all of these things to be snappy. I mean, really right there, okay? Well, Dyne.com can assure you of that by managing your DNS and offering you tools to do that. So check out Dyne.com. Also, email, that's another area that you really need to know what's going on. So Dyne.com offers these managed services. And if you use this special code right here, podcast30, you can get 30% off managed services through Dyne.com. So I encourage you to check that out. I'm telling you, awesome stuff. All right. Now, let's talk about things from the blog, drbill.tv, as I was mentioning. And whoa! Yes! We have a Geek Software of the Week this week. We didn't have one last week. Sorry. It's like I said, I'd rather do good ones than lame ones and throw them together haphazardly. This one is cool. It's open source. And by the way, I have two Geek Software of the Weeks this week, so stay tuned for another one soon. Yes. Maybe Fred won't play the drum roll again and freak me out. Yeah. Too much to hope for. Thought so. Anyway, Geek Software of the Week this week, number one is PDF Creator. PDF Creator, if you go to the PDF Creator website, you will find that it is an open source, and I love open source, and therefore free, and as it says, I love this, easy to use, create professional PDFs with a few clicks. PDF Creator is free now and forever, both at home and at the office. Dude. So you can totally use this anywhere you want to use it. Security and control using encryption, digital signatures, disallow printing and modification of your documents, protect your documents with a password, encrypt your files with AES and up to 128-bit security, digitally sign your documents to verify you as the author and protect the file against modifications. Dude! Stuff you would normally get only through like Adobe and high-priced packages. This is totally free and open source. Awesome. You can merge documents, send emails, so much more. I'm telling you, this is an awesome program. So, once again, that's why I wanted to take the time and be sure I got you a good one this week. And actually, like I said, I got two to make up for last week. Dude. Don't write me nasty letters. Okay, anyway. Microsoft forces customers to move to Skype. Microsoft is the evil empire, as you well know. Yes. Darth Vader's got nothing on them. Just saying. Anyway, Microsoft, they have had a Windows Live Messenger application. Boy, I'm having a hard time with the old tongue this week. Windows Live Messenger. They are deep-sixing that because they bought Skype. And now they're moving everyone to Skype services. So they are planning to force existing Windows Live Messenger users to upgrade to Skype April 8th. So April 8th, there'll be a big push to get everyone to quit using Live Messenger. Stop it! Microsoft says so. Now, that's okay in this case. I like Skype. I'm a Skype user. But, dude, Microsoft is just, you know, they're snippy. Know what I'm saying? You will no longer use Live Messenger. You will now use Skype. Yes. Okay, this next one. Dude. Check this out. Look at this image. Wow. This is a NASA animation of a near miss between the Earth, that's where we live, this planet, and an asteroid. So, here's what I said. I said, well, you have to see this. Go to this link, and I have the link in the blog here. Click on that. This happened today, and this was February 15th. This happened today. Did you feel your hair stand on end? Yeah. The caption reads, an animation depicting the trajectory of asteroid 2012 DA14 as it travels within the Earth-Moon system on February 15th, 2013. Now, what they mean by that, within, is I have, you know, I have a table full of stuff here, and I have two screwdrivers. You say, why do you have two screwdrivers? Don't ask. Just don't ask. But let's say this is the Earth, and this is the Moon. You know what I mean? Okay. Between the Earth and the Moon, like my head here, the asteroid passed between them. That's close. Matter of fact, it's 17,000 miles. And satellites, Earth geosynchronous satellites, orbit at 24,000 miles. So this asteroid was closer than those satellites. They didn't tell us about this very much in advance, you notice. They didn't come on the news and say, there's this giant asteroid coming. No. But it did. You know, if it was just a little bit closer, we might have gotten a shave. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Anyway, whoa! Yes, Fred, you did it. Yes. Yes. He played the Geek Software of the Week drumroll again because we have a second Geek Software of the Week. Wow. This one... Somebody's calling me on the telephone. Now, I have a rule on Saturday mornings when I'm doing the Dr. Bill show. Don't call me because I'm not going to answer it. It's just going to ring and ring and ring until the answering machine catches it because I ain't answering it on Saturday mornings, okay? Just saying. You just know that, okay? If you're one of my buddies out there and you're going, I'll call Dr. Bill on a Saturday morning. No. I ain't answering. Okay, here's the thing. There's a story behind this Geek Software of the Week. And it's an annoying story. I used to be a very big fan of a free zipper-unzipper program called IzArk. I-Z-Ark. I ain't no more. Though it was a nice little program, the problem with it is that the guy who wrote it kept stuffing more crapware in it. You try to install it, you know, initially installed on a system, and you had to keep dodging all the crapware. You know, click here to install the whatchamacallit. Click here to install the toolbar. Click here to install. No, no, I don't want your crapware. Yeesh. And it got harder and harder and harder. I mean, really, really hard to miss installing the crapware. So I finally said, enough. I have had it. I'm going to find another zipper unzipper that's better, faster, cooler, compresses more, and doesn't have crapware. So there. And I did. And it's called 7-Zip. Dude, it even has its own special compression algorithm format, which is the 7Z format. But you don't have to use that. You can also use plain old zip. You know, .zip extension. You can unzip things that are zipped. You can unarc things that are arc. You don't see the arc extension as much anymore. The old archive. Mostly zips. But 7-Zip will unzip those and will zip them as well, but it'll also 7Z them. If that's a way of saying it. But anyway, It is very fast and highly compressed and very, very cool. Its major features include high compression ratios in 7Z format with LZMA and LZMA2 compression, supporting formats 7Z, XZ, BZIP2, GZIP, TAR, ZIP, WIM, ARG, CAB, SMIM, CPIO, CRAM, FS, DEB, DIFF, FAT, yes, lots of formats. I quit reading because I was getting tongue-tied. Okay, for ZIP and GZIP format, 7ZIP provides a compression ratio that is 2 to 10% better than the ratio provided by PKZIP and WinZIP. Yes. Okay, strong AES 256 encryption in 7Z and ZIP formats. Self-extracting capability for 7Z format. That's cool, being able to self-extract. Integration with Windows Shell, powerful file manager, powerful command line version, plugin for FAR manager, localizations in 79 languages. Dude, and it's totally open source. It works in Windows 7, Windows 8, because I'm using it Windows 8, Vista, XP, 2008, 2003, 2000, NT, ME, 98, like you care anymore. There is a port of the command line version to Linux and Unix. Yes. Can you use it commercially? Yes, it is totally free software. You can use it on any computer. You don't need to register or pay for 7-Zip, and they have no crapware. Dude. How can I set file associations in 7-Zip for Windows 7 and Windows Vista? You must run in an administrator mode if you're not an administrator. Duh. And then you can change it. So, dude, 7-Zip. Get it. Use it. Uninstall Isarc. Oh, crapware. Yeesh. Okay. Imagine a computer that never crashes. As I say here in the article, a computer that never crashes and just runs and runs. It's called Linux. Yes. Actually, that's true. Linux runs forever. I was looking at work recently. I'm the Linux administrator at High Point Regional Health System, as well as being Citrix administrator and VMware administrator. I wear a lot of hats. But anyway, the point is, and I have other people on the team that help, you know, that back me up and stuff. I don't mean to sound like I'm doing it all myself. I don't. I'm not a one-man show. I have good old buds there that help me out. Well, I do. But, so I do work with Linux. And so we have Linux systems there. Well, I was looking at one of them yesterday that had been running for 378 days without being rebooted. Dude! And of course, it's still happily running along because Linux is awesome. Unlike Microsoft operating systems. Yes, they had to be rebooted constantly and eat memory and other things. Anyway, so this article here, I'm getting off track. So, imagine a computer that never crashes. Well, they have come up with one. They're designing one. This is an article from New Scientist. And it says, there's a revolutionary new computer based on the apparent chaos of nature. Chaos theory. That can reprogram itself if it finds a fault in itself. Out of chaos comes order. Sounds very Zen. Maybe they'll call it a Zen computer. I don't know. Anyway, a computer that mimics the apparent randomness found in nature. I like randomness. Yes. And can instantly recover from crashes by repairing corrupted data. Dubbed a systemic computer. I like Zen better. Systemic is so boring. Anyway, a systemic computer, the self-repairing machine now operating at University College London, UCL, could keep mission-critical systems working. For instance, it could allow drones to reprogram themselves. Sounds like Skynet to me. Yes. To cope with combat damage and to help create more realistic models of the human brain. Aha. Maybe we'll end up with a positronic brain yet. Good old Isaac Asimov. Yes. Pronounce it correctly, Dr. Bill. Anyway, everyday computers are ill-suited to modeling natural processes, such as how neurons work or even how bees swarm. Something I've always wondered about. Okay. This is because they plod along sequentially, executing one instruction at a time. Isn't that the truth? Nature isn't like that, says UCL computer scientist Peter Bentley. Peter Bentley, dude, that's a famous dude. You know what I'm saying? He's a computer scientist extraordinaire. Its processes, or processes, depending on how you want to say it, are distributed, decentralized, and probabilistic. Yes, they are fault-tolerant, able to heal themselves. Computer, heal thyself. A computer should be able to do that. Yes. Well, anyway, they're working on this. And it says each system has memory containing context-sensitive data. That means it can only interact with the other similar systems. Rather than using a program counter, the systems are executing at times chosen by a pseudo-random number generator designed to mimic nature's randomness. They should watch this show. Anyway, randomness is our speciality. I said that in the British manner, speciality. Here in the good old US of A, we say specialty. Speciality sounds cooler, doesn't it? Anyway, another bit of randomness. Anyway, crucially, the systemic computer contains multiple copies of its instructions distributed across its many systems. So it wastes a lot of disk space and memory. Merely an observation there. So if one system becomes corrupted, the computer can access another clean copy to repair its own code. And unlike conventional operating systems that crash when they can't access a bit of memory, the systemic computer carries on regardless because each individual system carries its own memory. Dude. So this is cool stuff. Or you could just run Linux. Well, you know, I'm a Linux dude. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So that'll do it for this week. Trust you learned a lot. And it's something about randomness. Bird. You know, or, ooh, look at that tree. I just, you know, random. Anyway, join us next time. You do want to join us next time, right? You should, because this is weird and random and geeky. And we like weird and random and geeky. Otherwise, you wouldn't be watching this show. You would be watching the NASCAR circuit. They always drive in the same direction. Have you noticed that all the time? Anyway. I guess if they didn't, it would be like a lot of crashes. Yes. Anyway. Until next time, the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.